Welcome everyone back to Robin's Nest. We are in season two and we are in our February edition of Robin's Nest. We are now only recording monthly. And I want to thank everyone once again for their support for this podcast. We're very excited to have so many listeners. And today I'm really excited because we have a return guest. We have Olu Paul, who was back on the pod. He was on the podcast back in November, and we had a really great conversation then. And so much has happened since then. It feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It really does. So I thought I would bring him back because he was a fan favorite, and so much has happened, and so much I wanted to talk with him about again. And he was gracious enough to agree to come on it. The pod a second time. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you very much.
Sure. I wanted to remind everybody of Olu's bio. He was born in Lagos. Lagos, Nigeria. He came to the United States in 1983 to study electrical engineering technology at Temple University, my alma mater, and decided to stay after he graduated. He went back to Temple 2 years later to become a pharmacist. Most recently, he went back to school and graduated St. Joseph's University with his MBA. He has 3 children, Rachel, Rebecca, and Joshua, and a 5-year-old granddaughter, Reagan. He's currently working as a licensed pharmacist in Pennsylvania, but is in the process of switching careers to become an entrepreneur working in the insurance industry. And he lives in Yardley, Pennsylvania. So much to cover and so little time.
That is true.
Let's just get right into it.
Please.
First question is, what have you thought about after our conversation the first time? What have you thought about from what we talked about, or, you know, was there anything that was left over from our conversation that you thought about afterwards?
Well, that is... The topics we discussed are so ongoing. They're literally in your face every day, especially with what we just went through recently, which I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about.
Yes.
The elections, the results of the elections. I always took a moment to just really reflect on what we talked about. And everything that we discussed, from how... a person of like myself is perceived in the United States to how my interactions with everybody else every day, to the way I interact with my coworkers and my family. It's all influenced by this. It's a very pervasive influence. And like I said before, Robin, the struggle is to make sure that I'm being the best version of myself as I can. That doesn't mean that I ignore the reactions to situations like what happened at the Capitol. But at the same time, I have to put things in the proper perspective and in the right context and make a decision based on that. I've had a couple of conversations based on the last podcast.
Oh, yeah?
absolutely. From friends from all over reached out to me.
Because they listened?
Yes, they did. They did.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What did they have to say?
Well, they felt like they were very touched by the fact that they really resonated with what I said. Some of them were, again, Donald Trump supporters, and they really were touched by the fact that I respect and love them just as much as I did before we had to choose who was going to be in the White House. We had many conversations around that. So it was a very, very good opportunity for discussion and to talk. And, you know, I love to talk. I love to listen. So it was great.
Well, tell me more about what they said about it. What was their, and it's okay. Like, you know, did they have anything to say about my reaction, which was of course very different than your reaction? Were they in any way apologetic to you?
No, you know,
that's
my friends,
hope.
My friends are just as honest as I am. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would be my friends if they weren't. Mm-hmm. But they really enjoyed the differences of perspective that we brought to the conversation. Mm-hmm. They enjoyed the fact that you're obviously not a supporter of the previous president.
That's the understatement of the year. Yeah. That's a very nice way to put it, Olu. Yeah. I was not a supporter. I've never heard anyone say it quite that kindly.
Well, yeah, just trying to keep it within.
I appreciate it. Sweet. Not a supporter.
They really liked the fact that we could come to into a discussion setting and really come to put all our cards and our feelings on the table and really come to some sort of understanding. One or two of my friends were like, wow, I didn't think she was going to react that strongly.
Really?
Well, I was like, well, what do you think? You know, there's no middle ground there was no middle ground with the previous administration, none. Right. But at the same time, we can, and as I told them, we can understand that, we can see that, and we can agree on the fact that we can agree to disagree.
Were they really that? I don't even know. I have so many questions about this. It's so hard for me to wrap my brain around you having a conversation with these Trump supporters and being super calm. So like when you say, for example, well, what did you expect her reaction to be? There was really no middle ground right. in this administration. What was their reaction to that?
Well,
do they agree or do they say, well, that's not true? Or
well, they did agree to an extent because they know who I am. They know me. And they did appreciate the fact that with everything we discussed, we were really able to sit down and elaborate on each point. For example, you know, there were a couple of questions that you asked me about my particular friends and white male in America and how that's perceived. They really enjoyed that. They liked that point. We talked a little bit about that. At the end of the day, my point was, you know, we all need to be heard. Whether it's fair or not, whether it makes sense to me or not, I owe it to you to sit down and try and put myself in your shoes. And I think my challenge to the incoming administration is to do exactly that. I know they're going to do their very best to be the voice of moderation. I know they're going to do their very best to be inclusive, and I love that. But at the same time, they better also seek out those individuals that were supporters of the outgoing administration and really try to understand. That is my expectation of
what do they need to understand about them?
Why, how did you come to where you are? Mm-hmm. What is it that you see that is so un-American to you? What is it that maybe I'm not seeing? Educate me. And at the end of the day, maybe we can come to a place where, okay, we're never going to get to the point where you want us to get to. I hope not. But maybe we can come to some sort of agreement. But just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I won't sit down at the table and listen to, as long as it's respectful, mm-hmm. as long as it makes sense, and as long as we can come to some sort of agreement.
When you say that you you know, put yourself in someone else's shoes. I completely trust that, you know, I don't know you well, but, you know, this is now our second hour of talking with each other. And I feel like I can trust that that's who you are. I trust that you definitely want to sit down with, let's say, your Trump supporting friends and understand how they got to be Trump supporters. Do you feel, though, that they do the same for you? Honestly, do you feel that they are interested in your perspective as to why you voted the way you did and why you support a different administration?
My friends, yes, absolutely.
Really?
Without a doubt. But if you ask me if maybe somebody that doesn't know me, I don't know. I can't answer that until I actually meet the person. But I would hope that I would hope that I invite discourse. I would hope that the person I am puts other people at ease so that they can talk to me. Because that is my, I won't say responsibility, but that's something that I aspire to get to the point where I put people at ease enough for them to talk to me. Again, Robin, I don't have to agree with you, but.
Okay, but let me ask you a question as it relates to COVID. You're a pharmacist.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm assuming you trust the vaccine.
Yes.
I'm trusting, well, I know you got the vaccine, so you must trust it. And I'm trusting that you believe COVID is real.
Yes.
Okay. So when you say that you are interested in other people's perspectives and they come to you and they say, for example, this just happened today. I saw my niece posted something on Facebook. She actually posted it weeks ago. I just never saw it. About basically COVID being, not that it was a hoax, but you know, they're greatly exaggerating the numbers. It's nothing close to as bad as they're making it out to be. These people are not intending on getting a vaccine. How? And I'm asking you this truly from a personal place, because I don't know how to engage with someone who is that out of touch with reality to want to understand more about how they got to that conclusion. So tell me your process.
Actually,
can you sit down with someone like that?
Oh, absolutely. My perspective is a little bit unique.
Okay.
Because a pharmacist do see those that are impacted by COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
I get to work at 5:30 in the morning. First thing I do is make IV bags of remdesivir for folks that cannot breathe. In addition to that, Robin, I am making 250 ml bags of fentanyl drips. For those that don't know, fentanyl is one of the most powerful narcotic analgesic medications that we have available to us. These folks are not only unable to breathe, they're suffering. So when you tell me that you don't believe it, I would invite you to come into my world and see what I see on a daily basis.
Exaggerating. You're making this up. Okay, so like someone comes to you with that attitude, I want to understand, because the feedback I got from our podcast, Olu, was that people were very, very impressed with your ability to see the good in everybody, to have the patience. And I want to learn from that. I want to learn how to engage with someone who is coming at me with nonsense. Absolute nonsense, but they believe it with every cell in their body. And you're telling me there's a way to have a conversation with these people to understand where they're coming from when you have a life experience of that you are handing out remdesivir, is that how you pronounce it? Remdesivir?
Yeah.
And fentanyl for the dying. And people are saying, no,
Yeah,
it's big fat exaggeration is what that is. What goes on in your body when someone says that to you, when you know the suffering that's going on, and they then refuse to wear a mask or get a vaccine?
Yeah.
As a result.
There are some people that will never reach. Mm. Okay, so I've come to terms with that too.
Okay.
But if there's a slim opportunity for me to be able to engage someone like that, mm-hmm. just spend a day or spend a half a day and really just go on. There's websites that you can go on. There's hospital websites.
Fake news.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is what they say. Don't send me any of your links.
Okay.
I can send you links that say the opposite.
And I get that. But at the end of the day, just come with me and talk to some of the nurses, talk to some of the other pharmacists. You can say fake news. Because it can be. I mean, it can be doctored, no doubt about it. But from those people on the front lines that are putting their lives on the line to help save lives, from nurses that worry that the patient that she's trying to intubate won't be able to, will reject the medication that they're giving them, to the pharmacists that I know that worry that I don't want to take this home to my family, to my kids, to the 42-year-old prison guard that just died because he had his mask on, but nobody else around him did, and he contracted COVID-19, a 42-year-old healthy person, to the 70-year-old patient that was otherwise healthy, except for a case of I think it was heart disease, that caught COVID-19, and COVID-19 accelerated the disease to the point where she couldn't breathe. And I'm standing there with a bag of remdesivir in one hand and fentanyl in the other, and the doctors are administering CPR. I'm fully gowned. Mm-hmm. You want to tell me that's not real? It's okay. Listen.
Yes, they do.
If you want to believe that, mm-hmm. that's your prerogative.
Mm-hmm. Do you get angry?
I used to initially. I was, especially being a healthcare professional and seeing how people were dying right, left, and center, to seeing a refrigerated hearse, mm-hmm. where they stored the bodies. Mm-hmm. I was more than a little incensed, Robin. I was more than a three, but over time I've come to understand this pandemic has really helped me to accept those that I cannot help and to focus on those that I can.
How about any of your friends? Are any of your Trump supporting friends people who don't believe in masking or in the, oh, really? He's nodding yes. For those of you that are listening and not watching the YouTube, he's saying yes. So you have friends who are, as I'm describing, not believing it?
Yeah, they were, but then I hit them with facts also. And I hit them more than just facts. I hit them with my personal story. Everything that I just described to you, I put in a couple of emails. And I'm glad to say they were very receptive to it. We had conversation and, you know, I wouldn't say to you that they are fully on board, but they're now wearing their masks, and that's a big victory.
What are they not on board with?
I'm sorry?
What are they not on board with when you say they're not fully on board?
I don't think that until something like this hits home to you personally, you really understand the pain.
That sad?
And the thing about...
Where's empathy? It has to happen to you or your mother, father, brother, sister, child. Why can't we just have empathy for somebody we heard about down the street? Why does it take that? Why does it, why are, I don't get it. Why? I'm sorry, go ahead. You can answer that and then I'll. No, I was just gonna say, you know, and this goes into the insurrection, which we're gonna be talking about in a few minutes too. You know, the only reason that we got bipartisan support for the impeachment is because it happened to them. If this had happened down the street and they weren't the ones afraid, we would not have bipartisan support. And this is something that I see across the board with Republicans or Trump supporters. I know that, you know, Trumpism seems to have taken over the Republican Party, but I choose to believe that there are still classic Republicans that are totally normal human beings. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about what has happened to the Republican Party with Trump, that it has become the party of Trump. And what I find is that these people don't seem to be able to have empathy unless they have had a personal experience. And even then, what was it? 5-7 people came and said, yeah, that was a problem. It wasn't like everybody. We were just able to peel off a few, not everybody, because it happened because they were afraid, because they were hiding underneath the chairs and under desks because it was happening to them. They're like, yeah, this wasn't good.
Yeah. So let me put it to you this way. Ignorance doesn't know any bounds. I think it was Albert Einstein that said, the only thing that we need for evil to proliferate is for good men to do, for good men and women to do nothing. So we have over time opportunities to learn, but when we stoke that and defy the flow of knowledge with ignorance, our chances to correct possible wrongs decreases to the point where it gets to a boiling point. When it gets to a boiling point, it doesn't discriminate. The pandemic doesn't care if you're Democrat or Republican, black or white, old or young.
The insurrectionists
didn't care if you were Republican or Democrat. They came after you. So we reap what we sow. If we sow ignorance, we reap ignorance. It's a simple calculus. It doesn't change. It doesn't. We have very little opportunity to guard ourselves and to protect ourselves and to shield the ones we love. But when we ignore that opportunity, when it gets to a flashpoint, it won't discriminate. That is all I have to say in regards to what happened and how it is that we didn't get like everyone coming out against what happened. And we still have people that still defy logic.
But wouldn't you say that your friends are in that camp as well? And by the way, for any of Olu's friends who are listening to this podcast who would like to come and talk to me directly, I would love to have you on the pod. Please reach out to me at robinsnestpodcast123@gmail.com because I would love to have you on the podcast. I promise it will be a civil conversation. I just want to understand your thinking. How can you be friends with Olu and still hold the positions that you have? It's something I don't understand. It's something I want to understand, and I welcome them on the pod. I just wanted to say that. Go ahead.
I wouldn't put them in that category because at the end of the day, there are certain values that they adhere to that is still represented in the Republican Party. It may be a traditionalist point of view, but certainly doesn't cross any moral lines or racial lines. So, and the fact that they're my friends, And we still have discourse, and we're able to sit down and we're able to talk. I give them a lot of credit for being who they are, and value the strength of their character for believing in what they do believe in, just like I do. My perspective, quite frankly, Robin, I believe is a moral, a just, a caring, a loving one. It's not to say that theirs isn't either. So, okay.
This is where my head explodes again. This is where my head explodes. Because they're supporting a man who sent these people to the Capitol to overturn democracy. They are supporting, hear me out for 1 second. They are supporting a man who said there are good people on both sides during Charlottesville, which was a KKK march. They are on the team that has the white supremacists, even if they are not themselves a white supremacist. That's who they're with on their team. Look around, who are you with? Oh, I'm on the team with the KKK people. Oh, I'm on the team that was hanging a noose at the Capitol. Those are my team members. So I'm having a hard time when you say that they are people of character. How do you separate this out?
So let's go back, let's rewind a little bit, just a little bit. Take a time, a little bit of a 4-year time travel back to when they cast their ballot and put him in office. I'm sure that at that point, they would not have believed that things would get to the point that they did today or recently. I am sure about that because we've had a conversation.
Okay, I can go with you on that, but then talk to me about why they voted for him again in 2020 after all of this happened.
Oh, I'm not saying that they did. Some of them did not. Because they believed in some aspect of what he was saying or representing, doesn't mean that there wasn't a part of them that didn't think, okay, I'm going to do this now, but I'm going to wait and see what happens. I just want him to represent some part of what I'm trying to put forth.
What is that?
It could be anything. It could be holding on to certain things. It could be anything. Whatever it is, it's immaterial, right, to this point I'm trying to make. But through the course of conversation with myself and with others, and watching what happened, there's a process of self-discovery that went on, whether it be, you know what, I've got to do a better job of looking at the greater good. What I believed back then isn't what really matters now. I've come to realize that there are other issues that, whatever it is, there are other issues that he's not representing that I would like to see brought forth. But that's a process of self-discovery. That's based on interaction with myself. That's based on interaction with coworkers. So they've learned, they've grown. That's a victory. That, again, there are people that I won't be able to reach. There are people that don't care to hear what I have to say. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Jesus Christ said, "If he who has an ear, let him hear." He also said, if you go in somewhere and people don't listen to you, shake the dust of their town off your feet and keep on moving.
I like that one. That's the one I'm going to follow.
It's okay to do that. If there's somebody that I can talk to and I can reach, absolutely, I'm going to spend the time. And I think I said it on the last podcast too, that if I'm wasting time, which time is very, I'm going to stop and I'm going to go talk to someone that I can, that will listen to me and I will listen to them. It's that simple.
Okay, so moving on to the next topic, what were you feeling when the insurrection was happening, and what have you been feeling since?
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. When I tuned into the newscast that day, it was on ABC, I believe, and there was a female broadcaster on the air talking. And she was a foreign correspondent. She'd been in wars. She'd been in Beirut. She'd been all over. She'd been in Bosnia, Herzegovina. She'd been in every hotspot on the planet. And as she was giving her report, there was a guy behind her looming over her in a threatening manner. And I looked at that. I mean, most people wouldn't have noticed that. And I'm thinking to myself, this is America. We've peeled away the veneer and now we're seeing the underbelly. I would pose a question to everyone. What makes anyone think that that insurrection isn't what America is truly about? What makes you think that?
Oh, I think it is. Sad. It's the ugly truth.
It's been covered up. It's the ugly truth. It's a reality that, unfortunately, I've had a little bit of it. The ignorance, the comments, the racial injustice and the intolerance, and the fact that you're looking at someone and they just won't listen to you. They won't hear you. They are bent on evil.
Yes.
Make no, what happened at the Capitol was wrong. It was shameful. I'm glad more people didn't get hurt. And I don't put it just at the feet of the leadership on that day. I don't. This is something that's always been with us. Don't fool yourself.
I agree, but he gave it permission to come out of the shadows.
Exactly. He gave it voice and he gave it feet too.
Right, exactly. So how do you feel about this impeachment? Are you hoping that he's convicted?
Quite frankly, I know I'm not sure how this will be perceived. Quite frankly, I hope he spends time with his family and his children. I hope, and his grandchildren. I hope he spends time taking a close look at where he's brought us. Whatever happens after that, to me, is immaterial, only because as a healthcare professional, we now have people in leadership that will help us save lives. There have been many, the current administration has passed a lot of different things recently that will help us as healthcare professionals. So my focus right now is on saving lives and keeping more people from dying. I don't want to lose anybody else if we can help it. I don't want any more families to suffer.
Do you think it's important that he be held accountable and not be allowed to run for office again and drive us even further into a ditch?
From the political landscape, I'll deal with that a little bit later. Right now, my focus, as I said, is really on the people and doing the best that I possibly can to help save lives, being the best citizen I can be. I haven't paid a lot of attention since the previous administration left. I'm just happy now that we're gonna have more personal protective equipment. We have more vaccines. The other day I was at the hospital at about 5:30 in the morning and I drew up 10, we had not immunization, but COVID-19 vaccine day. And I had to be the one to pull the vaccine up into the syringes, make sure everything's nicely labeled and have it ready to go. So I was really happy about that. I'm happy about my contribution. I don't know that I'm the best person to ask about that, because it's not necessarily out of sight, out of mind, but my priority right now is to care for the citizens of the human family that have been suffering. So
yeah, I know that we keep hearing the phrase, we can walk and chew gum at the same time, but it's appropriate. You know, I certainly think that Biden's focus needs to be priority number one is COVID relief. I mean, and vaccine distribution, and that's been just a mess.
I'm really happy about that. I am really happy about that. I'm just thrilled. So
what that he's going to make that his priority?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But I also believe that Congress has an obligation at the same time to make sure that he's convicted so that he does not ever hold office ever again. I, for one, and I know I said this in my last pod, but I will remind you, I personally will not rest until he's in prison. I think that he needs to be charged with crimes against humanity. I think that even Dr. Fauci said that, you know, because of the failed leadership, hundreds of thousands of people have died that did not need to. Well, why is he going to be held accountable for that?
I would definitely leave it to folks that are much more versed than myself, because I really haven't done enough research and to see how I listened to a couple of broadcasts recently that talked about that, but not nearly enough. And there seems to be precedent for that. But again, as I grow older, I have singular focus. My focus right now is on the people that I can help. And just to show a great deal more compassion myself for those people that have suffered. Like I said, on the day we were giving out the vaccine, I made it a point to be there an hour early. The nurse had given the vaccine out. She was like, oh, we have our own personal concierge from the pharmacy. I was like, well, that's what I'm here for. And they started the vaccine day about 15 to 20 minutes earlier, just because I was able to provide what they needed. And that's my focus. I make my world really small sometimes, because all I can do is what I can do.
Yeah.
I'm very aware of the fact that I'm a finite being. I'm very aware that I'm a small cog in the wheel. I'm very aware of the fact that I have a human family that I'm responsible for, really feel responsible for, and that's my focus.
Sounds like a great way to conserve energy.
I tell you what, I feel more energetic and more vital than I ever have. I'm a lot calmer. I'm a lot more at peace.
But that makes sense to me. I mean, from what everything that you're saying, when I say conserve energy, it's like, I'd like to tell my clients, you know, I'm a psychotherapist, and I like to tell clients, you know, you have 10 units of energy a day. How are you going to spend it? You know, and if I'm, for example, spending it worried and frustrated about what's going on, then it's less energy I have to change people's lives. Then all of you choose to spend your units of energy being as effective as you can. And I think that is definitely the lesson for me, and I think for many people listening. Where can we, how can we most be helpful and let go of the stuff that we can't be helpful? And I guess that for me personally, that's a very tall ask, because I feel, and we talked about this in our last podcast, you know, I am an overfeeler. And so it's so hard for me to let go of, like, let's say my niece, that example I was just giving you from today, you know, that I saw this post where she's not really a believer of the vaccine or COVID.
Right.
Like, you know, what would be the most helpful is for me to just let go of that, because there's nothing I'm going to be able to do to help her, and instead focus on the people that I can help. But because I am who I am, and I feel so much and so often, it's very, very hard for me to harness those feelings and just be really precise in how I spend it. So I respect that you're able to do that.
Well, thank you very much. But it's come with a lot of pain. I wasn't born with it. I'm an overfeeler too. But I've learned to harness it.
Yeah. And I'm a work in progress with that for sure.
Yeah. I've learned how to harness it and use it to the benefit of those around me.
Yeah. I get that. How are you feeling now that Biden is in office?
Hopeful.
Are you?
Hopeful, just because that the previous administration is gone. That's setting a lot of value in that, but hopeful that, all right, let's get to work.
Yeah.
Get to work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Let's do it. I'm so happy I can roll up my sleeves and jump in, both hands and feet. Even the career I'm going into, I'm going to be able to help others also to prepare better should in case the unexpected happens, because guess what? At that hospital, I saw two or three people that faced premature death and they weren't prepared. So now we have someone or an administration in leadership that I don't have to be concerned about PPEs. I don't have to be concerned about, the vaccine is still in short supply in certain areas, but they're working on it and they're open about it and they're trying really hard. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful about that. I'm feeling hopeful.
You think things are just going to keep getting better and better?
I do. But again, I remind you of what I said at the very beginning of the podcast, my challenge to the leadership, because I think that's part of what got us to where we were, in that they're certain segments of population that felt disingenuous and they felt marginalized. I would challenge leadership to reach out and listen. You don't have to come up with solutions, because everybody feels like we have to solve every problem. Just listen to what they have to say.
And do you think Biden will?
He's got his playful. And I'm not so sure. I mean, maybe I hope so. I really do. Because some of those folks, just like with some of my friends, they just needed an ear. They needed someone to listen to them and needed someone to tell them, listen, I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to put my arms around you. If you allow me to, we're going to walk together and we're going to get there together. If you fall, I'm going to be there. I'll pick you up. And I'm hopeful that if I fall, you do the same for me. That's all they needed to hear. Everything's going to be okay.
Do you think that the people that were involved with the insurrection, that's all that they need to hear? And that they're going to be able to come around?
Some of them.
Really?
But remember, again, focusing my energy, there's some of them I won't reach. So guess what? Am I going to spend my time on that? No.
Do you feel like now that Trump is out of office, that these people will go more into hiding, or do you think that they're still going to be out there wreaking havoc?
I think that now that they don't have an example in the highest office in the land, they may not feel quite as empowered. That leaves them in a vulnerable place. That leaves them, what's the word I'm looking for? That leaves them moldable. Mm. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that some of them will be in that vulnerable place, especially seeing that some of the insurrectionists are now being arrested and they're paying for their actions. I'm hoping they'll be moldable and we can reach them.
Yes. I'm curious, what did your children listen to the podcast? And were their opinions?
They know me very well. My son Joshua, thought it was like, that's really cool that he listened to maybe the first quarter or two-thirds of it, and he thought that was his words. That was really cool, Dad. But his words again, I wouldn't expect you to say anything else. So
that's good. That's good.
Choice.
Yeah. So my last question that I've had, and I actually had it on my list to talk to you about last podcast, but we ran out of time, and it's a question I'm really interested in your answer to. Okay. So I want to make sure that I ask it before we end. It's a two-part question, I guess. What are your feelings about the over-policing problem? And what can we, as the white community, how can we be better allies to the Black community from your perspective?
So let me take it in reverse order.
Okay.
And I'll address the second part first. But you've already seen a little bit of a representation of what white America needs to do to be better allies. You saw that with my relationship with Jill. Jill actually reached out to me when George Floyd was killed. And she said, she openly admitted that there's gaps in her knowledge of what's going on. Would I come over and talk to her? She invited me. Well, they're my friends anyway, so I could go over there now and knock on the door without being invited. But she invited me in for a conversation. There is power in words, Robin. Being a psychotherapist, you know that.
Yes.
Power in words. And for you to invite someone for a conversation means that you're in a place that you feel vulnerable, you're transparent, and you're hopefully moldable. That's what it takes to realize that there's something missing. We're not quite looking at this the right way. You can't have a situation where one person is stopped and treated one way and another person doing the same thing is treated a totally different way. There is a gap. There's a gap. So to fill that gap, we need to engage in conversation. That's where it starts. That's really where it starts. And then certainly there's other things you could do. You can patronize Black-owned businesses. You can do so many different things, but it starts with a conversation. So let me take the first part of your question and answer that. We have a police officer in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy. He's so much fun, but when he puts on his uniform, he looks completely different. That uniform itself, much like me dressing in a black dark hoodie and a cap, carries a message. What we really need many times is for the police force to come to our level as a Black community, maybe not come to us in a uniform and a police car, maybe have an opportunity to sit down and have discourse without the threat of the uniform. I mean, even as a Black person, if I saw a police officer today in full garb, I'm immediately in my, here's my hands. Officer, you can see both my hands. They're on my steering wheel. I will not move. You let me know what you want me to do. Immediately, I'm starting to think that way. You can't have open discourse like that. Even with my friend, if I see him in uniform with the cap, first thing is I back up a little bit. That uniform represents a lot of things, even for me.
Yeah, how did you feel? Because I happen to know which neighbor you're referring to. How did you feel when he put out a Blue Lives Matter sign in front of his house? Fine with you?
I'm fine with that. Why not? He's a police officer. And if I took a six pack over there today, he and I would be sitting on the lawn right next to that lawn poster, drinking and having a good time. It's what he believes.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, we also have to realize that uniform holds a lot of pain for a lot of people. So if you want to have open, honest discourse, maybe that needs to be put on the side for just a moment. Come talk to me. Let's see commonality. So that's where it starts. I hope I answered your questions.
You did. You know, I like to listen to this. I'm going to listen to this podcast again, you know, after it's, so that's fine. What I said last time too. Yeah. Because, you know, you say things that are just very hard. It's very hard for me. When you say I can go over to his house, bring a six pack of beer, we can have a great time. He's a great guy. And I understand that his Blue Lives Matter sign is important to him because he's a police officer. And, you know, you're thinking about it from that perspective. To me, that would be like me going over to somebody's house who has a Nazi flag. I'm a Jew. Nazi flag hanging from their wall, and just saying, you know, but let's just have a drink and let's just, you know, I like you anyway. That's what it sounds like to me. That's not what you're saying, but that's what it feels like from my perspective. So it's very, right. Very, very hard for me to wrap my brain around. I went recently, this summer, I went to a friend's house who lives in Toms River, and they're lovely people. They're friends of mine. But the house to the right had a big Trump flag that said, fuck your feelings. And then to the left had big Trump sign. And I felt like I was just surrounded by people who hate me. I mean, essentially people who don't, me as a Jew, they don't want me around. They don't support my existence. And, you know, I found that even though my friends are lovely, I found it very uncomfortable. And so when I hear you say, you know, that you can sit next to me, a Blue Lives Matter sign is like, fuck your Black Lives Matter movement. Our lives matter. Like, who cares about you and your movement? That's what I hear. That's what that sign means to me. All lives matter. We don't, you know, so what, that your lives are really on the line here. You're the ones that are really being over-policed and hurt and being killed, but blue right. lives matter too. Well, who said blue lives didn't matter? We're not talking about you. We're talking about an entire group of people who are being right. literally killed for nothing. And you want to distract right. that movement with your Blue Lives Matter sign, and you are able to just bypass that and have a conversation. I'm just saying,
yep.
I don't know how you do it. You're as close to God as I've ever met anyone. I don't know how that's done.
I come from a place of, not that nobody, others don't, but I try very much to come from a place of love. That's the closest I can come to an answer, because at the end of the day, I know him. As far as we've interacted, I know his wife, I know his dad, I know his mom, I know his wife's mom, I know his wife's dad. They've come to my house, we've had drinks together. I know them. And I do not want to lose that genuine feel with another human being because I disagree with something that he believes in. He's going to disagree with some of the things I believe in. I'm sure of it because we're human beings. But in sitting and talking with him, I have a unique opportunity to be able to talk about my stance and where I'm coming from. And he talks to me about where he's coming from. And if I can somehow influence some interaction that he has with somebody else that's dark skinned, that's a greater responsibility than me being uncomfortable with something that he has on his lawn.
I hear you, and again, theoretically, that makes absolute sense to me. But you're asking, you know, when I put that into context for myself, you're asking me to jump through way too many hoops, way more mental gymnastic hoops that I would have to jump through to get to that end place. Because again, this goes back, and we have to end in a minute, but this goes back to what I was saying about, look at the team you're on. You know, that's a Trump supporter. Right next to that Blue Lives Matter sign was a, you know, Cops for Trump or something like that. You have a neighbor, another neighbor with his big flags on his truck. I'm sure you've seen where he had them.
The kid that cuts my grass had a big flag on the back of his
truck. That's him. I'm sure that's him. Wow. And he's cutting your grass. Wow.
Well, yeah.
Wow. Okay. I think we're going to need about 20 more hours of conversation to get it. But, like I said, I have a lot of respect for your perspective. I know that my listeners really enjoyed hearing your perspective. It's a nice contrast to mine. And I thank you very, very, very much for agreeing to come on the pod again.
It is a real pleasure, Robin. Thank you so much for having me. And I do enjoy your perspective also. I want you to know that there's so much good that you're doing in terms of being able to just present a podcast like this and just talking about things. And I commend you for that. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you so much, Olu. And please follow me on Robins_Nest_pod on Instagram. This is a really good time for you to be catching up on all the podcasts you missed. And for sure, you're going to want to go back and listen to Olu the last time he was on, which was on November 24th. And I strongly recommend you listen to that. And I also want to remind everyone that you can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any place you like to listen to podcasts. And if you prefer to watch us and not just listen to us, you can search us on YouTube by searching Robin's Nest Podcast. And with that, we will say goodbye. Thank you, Olu. Okay, bye.
Bye.